Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events. Major elections, world wars, scientific breakthroughs. But we also bring you into the smaller, behind-the-scenes stories. The unsung heroes, secret meetings, even personal grudges that changed the course of history. Listen to and follow History This Week, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with the History Channel. Available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
97.1 FM Talk. On demand audio.
We have Cusimano coming up here in just a bit. Josh Hammer, Newsweek senior editor at large, host of the Josh Hammer Show. You hear it every weekend here at 1 p.m. on Saturdays. He'll join me. Also, Ilya Shapiro in the next hour, plus an audio cut of the day. This guy has been traveling all over the country. He was in Butler in Pennsylvania for the rally for President Trump, the return rally from the assassination attempt. Senator Eric Schmidt is with us this afternoon. How are you?
I'm doing great, Mark. How are you doing?
I'm good. As much as I want to hear about, you know, President Trump and the rally and all that, I got to start with Elon, because you're hanging with Elon Musk over the weekend. What was that like?
It was pretty cool. He was backstage, and we got a chance to visit a little bit, and we were talking, and of course, I had the Missouri versus Biden, the big anti-censorship and case, and I thanked him for, you know, what he's doing to protect free speech, and we talked about that for a while, and sort of an agreement that this is unfortunately where the Democrats are. You heard Hillary Clinton just talk about this the other day. John Kerry talk about it. These aren't some bloggers in their basement. I mean, these are like major figures in the Democrat Party that are talking about controlling information and censorship. It's disturbing. So we had a great conversation about that. He's taller than I expected. Actually, he's I mean, I'm 6'6".
Yeah.
Well, not quite 6'6", but he's a tall guy, but pretty impressive guy. And he went up on that stage. As people saw, he was just so excited. It's not something that he typically does, but I think he feels, he knows how important this election is, and he said so on the stage.
Yeah, there's a, you posted on your Instagram him basically jumping in the air. Is that a real shot? Because then you kind of circled yourself with JD
there. So JD Vance and I were like off stage there. That's where Elon was when he wasn't speaking. But somebody pointed it out to me, like, you're in the photo. And so it's him jumping up. You got Trump kind of looking back. It's got the American flag.
It's awesome.
I said something like, hang in the Louvre.
Yeah. Yeah, it's awesome. So here's, this was great, too, how he started this, of course.
Thank you. A very big thank you to Pennsylvania. We love Pennsylvania. And as I was saying.
Yeah, as I was saying, a perfect way to start that. So what was that like? I mean, obviously, this changed the dynamic of an entire presidential race.
So the backstory to that is I was on the plane with President Trump, and he was talking about the speech, and he wanted to open it up in a special way. And obviously it was going to be a tribute to Corey, the firefighter who lost his life. But he talked about that. And so they're going through the speech, and I don't know if it was part of the original version, but he's very committed to saying, and as I was saying, I thought it was a great line. And then, of course, he delivered it and looked at the chart. And I think it was like, hey, I'm back. Right. This could have been the end of the story, but it's not the end of the story. Let's get on with it. And I thought it was a pretty cool moment. There were 100,000 people there. So we were on the plane, too. And we did a flyby. He does this at his rallies. He'll fly by. The crowd goes nuts. And all of us were looking out the window. And he has a playlist. There is a playlist that's playing in the plane. And Guns N' Roses was on, Sweet Child of Mine. I think on my Instagram, it actually captures this. But
really?
The music comes on. Yeah. Oh, yeah. And you can hear it if you turn, I guess I'm promoting my socials today on your show, but
go
to it, you can hear the music come on, and you saw the crowd and all the cars, and there were over 100,000 people there, Mark. It was just incredible. And Butler, Pennsylvania is not, you know, it's about an hour away from Pittsburgh, and we were in the motorcade. It's about an hour, hour and a half from Pittsburgh. So, you know, it takes, you know, commitment to get there, but just the number of people that were there that wanted to be there for this return of what could have been a tragic place. And it was for Corey and a couple of folks who were shot, of course, and made sure that the tribute was given to them. But President Trump, the resilience, the energy to come back and say, we've got some unfinished business. It was a pretty, it was a pretty cool event.
So do you know, I don't know, I'm sure you've heard her on my show. Maybe you know her personally. Do you know Selena Zito? Have you ever met her before? Because she's been, you know, she was on that stage when this all happened, and she was with him over the weekend as well with some access.
I don't think I've ever met her, but I'm a fan of her work because she, you know, in 2016 was the one that kind of captured what was going on in the country that President Trump certainly tapped into. So I think she's got a lot of credibility, no doubt.
Well, here's one of the things she said. You can react to this.
That's where I think the election will be decided. And in those
areas... Let me reintro this. So she's talking about the rural areas in Pennsylvania, and she said...
That's where I think the election will be decided. And in those areas, and in my interviews there, it is a very much of a 2016 feel to it, as opposed to 2020, which I think may end up being the election that was a fluke.
Yeah, so Eric, to your point, she kind of feels like it's more like 2016. She wrote this book, The Great Revolt. She traveled the country that summer and saw a lot of the signs that some of us missed with the support that President Trump had. Now, you know, I it's not brilliant political analysis to say it's all going to come down to Pennsylvania, because at this point, everyone knows it's all going to come down to Pennsylvania, right?
That's exactly right. And I will tell you, even on our way there, 5-7 miles out, okay, there were people who weren't even at the rally who were lined up on the streets, okay, a couple people deep in some places. So there is something happening. And, you know, I've run statewide, you know, a few times in a state like Missouri and gotten around the country. And you do, and it's anecdotal, so you don't, you know, people kind of maybe sometimes roll their eyes. But I'm telling you, there's something going on. And all the fundamentals are there, too. So I think it's right. I think it comes down to Pennsylvania. I think Trump wins Pennsylvania. I think his margins in places like Butler and like in western Pennsylvania are going to be significant. And I think that carries the day. But if you look at the fundamentals of how he's doing among younger voters, he's winning with Hispanic voters, according to a Rasmussen poll that came out this weekend. People view it as a change election. And by a 2-to-1 margin, he is viewed as the change candidate. All of those things sort of feed into, I think, what you're seeing now. The polls are starting to reflect it. I think it's still going to be close, but in the battleground states, he's doing better, Mark, than he was certainly in 2020, but even in 2016 at this point in the election. And so it just feels like he's headed towards a win, but this is going to be a turnout election.
Right? Absolutely.
This is turnout. And so that point was made home, too, when Elon Musk was on stage talking about that as well.
So I don't know if you're going to pop some popcorn or watch this 60 Minutes special today, but they've leaked a couple of the clips from Kamala, and they're not too good. She actually gets asked a couple of questions that are relatively important and not, you know, softballs, and she does not do very well. So that's something that, you know, I think they're damned if they do, damned if they don't. You got all these people calling for her to get out there more often. And when she gets out there more often, it is awkward. And we haven't really talked. How about J.D. Vance last week on that debate stage?
Good great.
Lord. He did amazing.
He did amazing. I talked to him afterwards. And then, of course, he was there, too, in Butler. So we got to spend a little bit of time talking about it, too. He nailed it. You know, I was on your show early on saying it was a great pick. And here's why. First of all, he's a very relatable guy. We go to dinner a bunch, and I'm the boy from Bridgeton, right? We've talked a lot about that. I get a sense of people pretty quickly, and he's an authentic guy, and he's told that story. And I think he started that debate by saying, "Hey, I'm going to answer your question," and he did. But let me tell you a little bit about myself, because a lot of people don't know who I am or who Tim Walz is. That was smart. He was calm. He had a handle on policy. He showed empathy throughout. Like, you know, I didn't know your son witnessed that. Christ, that's terrible. You know, that's who he is. And so I think it came through. The challenge in these debates sometimes, and he and I were talking beforehand, is that's a good format for him because there's enough time for you to show who you are. A lot of times in these 30-second sound bites, or if you're on a show, you got a minute to respond. You know, the course of an hour and a half, people get a sense of who you are. And I thought he did a great job, and I know everybody was thrilled with that. And, you know, how much do presidential debates matter? You could debate that point, but when people are trying to figure out who he was and Tim Walz, and they're still trying to figure out how Kamala Harris is, all these data
matters.
Points matter.
It matters, absolutely. Yeah, especially absolutely. With him, when everyone's trying to define him as the, you know, the evil single cat lady guy, and you know,
and
he comes
honestly,
off very differently.
The irony of that, Mark, is, which was sort of just what was so terrible about it, was trying to label him as weird. Like, I know a lot, there are weird people in politics, but JD's not weird. Like, he's a normal guy. And I think that's maybe why. I think part of the effort that they had, I posted about this, is because they knew how well he was going to do. Part of the effort to discredit him ahead of time is they know he's a talented guy, and they were trying to affect that.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the guy who's a little weird was the guy on the other side of the stage, but that, I think, is somewhat apparent to a lot of people, certainly in this audience. I have to, obviously, I'd be remiss in my duties, and I've been spending a lot of time on it today talking about this anniversary, Eric, which, you know, here we go again, where we're seeing some of these pro-terrorist demonstrations in New York City and at these college campuses across the country.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events. Major elections, world wars, scientific breakthroughs. But we also bring you into the smaller, behind-the-scenes stories. The unsung heroes, secret meetings, even personal grudges that changed the course of history. Listen to and follow History This Week, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with the History Channel. Available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, it's brought out the worst in many people and the worst instincts. And this growing pro-Hamas wing of the Democrat Party is not going away. It's a real challenge for them. You could argue it's why she didn't pick Josh Shapiro, who's from Pennsylvania, because of the concern that it might upset certain people in Democrat Party. That's a terrible indictment of where they're at right now. And you also still have these sort of subtle comments. You had another senator, Chris Murphy, talking about how Benjamin Netanyahu is going to war to affect the election. I mean, it's so weird. Like, they're responding to this October 7th attack. They've taken on Hamas. They're taking on Hezbollah. Iran is now coming for them. It doesn't take too long for you to imagine, you know, if Iran actually has nuclear ballistic missiles lobbing those into Israel, they have to treat this as seriously as they are. They have to be able to deal with it on their own timeline. And the United States should support their ability to go do that. We shouldn't be telling them, you know, they need to enact a ceasefire right now. They got to do what they got to do, just like we would want to do what we needed to do to protect our people.
You know, and I have to also mention, because this is almost embarrassing for me, I sit here a week after I was on the air talking about, because this is not unique either, but I knew that North Carolina was just going to be devastating. And here we are on the cusp of another hurricane in Florida that could be devastating. And we should be talking about the people in North Carolina right now.
Yeah, the people are suffering there, and that gets lost in all this. There are people whose entire lives have been wiped away, including some of their family members. I mean, some of the videos of the woman who lost her son and, you know, all of those. That's a tragedy. And what's happening is that the federal government is failing basic competency tests because there's been such a focus, even in FEMA, talking about DEI, all of the money that's been diverted to, you know, migrant housing and all of these sorts of things. That is not the core mission of FEMA.
Eric, it's the first thing on their website. I thought this was a joke when I saw someone posted this, so I like to vet things. So I went to the website. They have three goals. Number one goal is instill equity as a foundation of emergency management. And then the second one is lead a whole of community and climate resilience. You got to be kidding me. And we're surprised that they're not, you know, properly responding to, you know, devastating emergencies. Go figure.
Yeah. How about we just get the stuff to people who've been affected by natural disasters, regardless of their race, regardless of their religious affiliation, regardless of their gender? None of those things matter. You're supposed to be serving Americans. But again, they're sort of searching out, and it's this mission creep that is exposing the ineffectiveness, the inefficiencies, and quite frankly, the corruption that exists in a lot of these agencies. And one of the things I'm excited about when President Trump gets back into office is I think he'll be a disruptor and get back to a level set of what these agencies are supposed to do. Now, look, they're going to freak out and they're going to call it all kinds of names and whatever ists, you know, they want to label. But this isn't working. This experiment that the left has, you know, imposed on the United States of America is not working for Americans. In the tone deafness, Mark, also of Kamala Harris and Blinken announcing it's happening, 180 million more for Lebanon is insane.
Well, this is what I said at the beginning. Look, I get that the government should be capable of walking and chewing gum at the same time, but the tone deafness of blasting that out on Twitter, not realizing what that seems like to the majority of American people. I was stunned by that, but, you know, good for them for achieving that. Unbelievable.
It's a bubble.
Yeah,
it's a bubble they live in.
Hey, thank you so much. Enjoy the football, the baseball tonight, the politics this week. We'll talk soon.
All right, brother. Take care.
See you. That's Senator Eric Schmidt.
Get more at 971talk.com.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events and the lesser told stories, ones you might not even know happened. Find History This Week on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.